Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory and all the praise this morning. Our Lord and our God, as we go into the Sunday school this morning, we pray that your Spirit will teach us and enlighten our hearts in Jesus' name. Lord, this is like a meal that is prepared for this household. And a lot of people are missing out on it because they are not here yet this morning. We pray that you quicken their footsteps in Jesus' name. We know you have a desire to build our homes, and we are the instruments you are going to use to build these homes. Therefore, we ask, O Lord, that what we will learn this morning will do us good in Jesus' name. We are going to build viral marriages. We are going to build enduring and healthy marriages. Your peace will reign in them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We are looking at Christians in marriage. Christians in marriage. That is what we are looking at this morning. Most times we have been taught, and I actually have taught people over the last 10 years on Christian marriage. I've taught people on Christian marriage. But a few days ago, before I prepared this Sunday school, the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me that it is not Christian marriage, but that it is about Christians in marriage. And since then, God has enlightened my heart and widened my understanding to look at it differently. When you talk about Christian marriage, I've given us a few reasons here. When you talk about Christian marriage, it gives us a kind of expectation as to a particular type of marriage. But you will agree with me that our experiences and observations tell us that the things we expect in marriages that would classify as Christian marriages don't always exist. In fact, in a lot of cases, we see the opposite. Secondly, you also agree with me that it is the people in a marriage that determine the kind of marriage they will end up with. It's not so much the up to the two people who in that marriage. And also, how much of Christ that is seen in a marriage is a reflection of how much of Christ is in the lives of both the husband and the wife. Fourthly, you don't fit people into a type of marriage you expect them to have. But individuals in a marriage work out the type of marriage they want depending on their vision. I underline working out marriage. Particularly for those of us who are young in marriage, it's something you have to work out. Because a lot of Christians have been misled in the past in their choice of life partners. They believe that once somebody is a brother or somebody is a sister, that guarantees a successful marriage. Like I said, our observations has not borne this out. What we see has not borne it out. So, it's going to involve us doing some work to make it work. Of course, the other reason why we talk about Christians in marriage is the possibility of exceptional circumstances or situation where you have one of the parties in the marriage not being a Christian. Yet, the Christian in the marriage is expected to bring the presence of God to bear in the home, in that home. So, it's not so much of a Christian marriage, but Christians in marriage. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We are going to read verse 1 to 15. Please, can I have two people read? The first person to read 1 to 7 and the other person to read 8 to 15. The Lord. So I want to read from 8 to 15. So I want to read verses 8 to 15. Okay. If there's no one to read, I will read. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as are. If they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother had a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God had called us to peace. Praise the Lord. There are quite a lot of things that are quite self-evident here. It is obvious that the church in Corinth at a particular stage probably had problems with, you know, marriage, divorce, and people marrying Christian, marrying non-Christian, wrote back to them, basically telling them the position of God and the leading he had from the Holy Spirit. And the central theme of the passage we've read is to see that we do not fall into sin, and to maintain an enduring marriage. He talks about the role of the husband to the wife, including areas of intimacy. He also talks about the role of the husband or the wife who is a Christian married to a non-Christian. And you remember I said to us here in number 5 of the items we've considered that the Christian in the marriage is expected to bring the presence of Christ to bear in the home. That before now were their children unclean, but now because there is a Christian in that home who chooses to live like a Christian, hence the relationship becomes sanctified because of the presence of a child of God in that relationship. And of course, if the Christian chooses not to live like a Christian, then that relationship will just be like any other relationship. I pray that God will further open our understanding concerning these areas in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at characteristics of Christians in a marriage. I decided not to do the traditional things, and you know, but for us to look at what are some of the characteristics of a Christian in a marriage. Christians in a marriage will marry according to biblical principles, especially if they get to know the Lord before they get married. There are some people, one like me, I wasn't born again, you know, before I got married. But there are people who had known the Lord before getting married. And once you have known the Lord, you don't have an excuse not to marry according to biblical principle. And of course, there are things that we used to take for granted in those days that we can no longer take for granted. That is, you expect that a Christian will be married to somebody of the opposite sex. In the past, once you talk about a Christian in marriage, you are not even thinking of, you know, but people are helping us to redefine what marriage is. But for us, we know what the Bible says. So it is a marriage between a man and a woman, following the leading from the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't allow themselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. They allow themselves to be led by what human eyes can see as prospect. Praise the Lord. Remember that Lot chose according to prospect. Lot chose according to the prospect, because when he saw the ground, he looked at the place that was quite lush, green, and he said that was what he wanted to choose. We know what happened. The remaining part that didn't look so attractive, Abraham chose. It was the presence of God with Abraham that transformed that land to a land that flowed with milk and honey. So it is the presence of God in our lives that will transform our marriage. Even when it looks like this individual does not look like he's going to become an oil magnate, the fact that you two are children of God have come together brings the presence of God, and it will transform your situation in Jesus' name. So if there are marriages that are struggling at this point and it doesn't look like there's prospect for you, I want to let you know that it is you in your marriage choosing to live in line with the word of God that will transform your marriage, and the blessings of God will come upon your home in the mighty name of Jesus. Such a home regards the word of God as the final authority in matters that affect their lives, their marriage inclusive. So their relationship is guided by love undefiled, the type of love that convinced Jesus to go to the cross for mankind. But Christ is loved above everything and everyone else. I keep saying this. If you love your wife more than Christ, more than God, that is idolatry. If you love your husband more than God, it is idolatry. If you have to make a choice between your wife and what God says, and you choose your wife, it is idolatry. And I've told us before, if you love your wife or you love your husband, you will not choose them above God. You don't know why? Can any one of us remember why? What I told us? I've told us before. It's not just idolatry, but some things can happen. God says he is a what? He's a jealous God. Can you remember when the Ark of Covenant was taken to the land of the Philistines? And put in the house of Dagon. Can any of us remember the story? When the Ark of Covenant was put in the house of Dagon, the god of the Philistines, what happened? Each morning, they will find the gods of the Philistines prostrating, lying down. They will put them upright. After some time, God started breaking their hands and their legs until God broke them into pieces. That is what happens. Anything will make God to compete with God in our lives. And God really, really wants to use you. God may choose to take away such a thing. It's very important. And I'm not saying it lightly. I've told my wife this before, when I had to take decisions, and what she told me was not in line with what I believe God wanted. And I told her, I said, I love you, and I don't want you to die. Because if I would consider you to be more important than God in my life, I may not be able to predict what will happen. So please, it's very important. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Do we want to look at Luke chapter 14, verse 26? Yes. So he even mentioned wife there, Abby. He mentioned children as well. And brethren and sister. Yeah. And his own life also. He cannot be my disciples. You remember I told us, was it last week? The Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I said the part that we do not look at is that. It says, and they love not their lives unto the death. We want the testimony. We don't want to take the risk. We don't want to give him everything. When we put God above everything in our lives, then testimony will follow. I went out yesterday. My wife went and did graduation in the Bible college she's attending. So I was there yesterday. And the man of God administered. Oh, very, very powerful. He's a man of the word. And he actually requested that he would like to come. He's in charge of a very, very big faith ministry. He travels all over the world. He goes to at least 15 countries in a year. You know, their ministry is in over 56 countries in the world. You know, this man is a man of the word. You need to listen to him. You know, and he was talking about how the love of Christ needs to constrain us. How the love of Christ needs to constrain us, compel us to make us do things. And I came to the choir, and I came here yesterday, and the people who were taking the choir said something in that line. And if you remember, any of us that was there, I mean, there were probably one or two people here. And one of the things they said, it said, worship is not something you feel like. It's something that you do because it's what you are created to do. So if you don't think you've got a calling in coming to worship God, please leave. You worship him, not that you wake up. It's like me. As a pastor, I wake up some days and I say, I don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel like preaching. I don't feel like... The question of feeling is there. It's not there. That's what Paul said. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, for necessity is laid upon me. So it's not by choice. I don't have a choice in the matter. I come and do what God has asked me to do. A lot of people have wrecked their homes. They have wrecked their ministries because of feelings. And not because they know, I mean, not because of the calling of God and the desire to please him. So also in our marriage, it must be our desire to please God that is sustaining our marriage. Praise the Lord. So marriage to the Christian in marriage is seen as part of the work of their salvation, to be worked with fear and with trembling. And that's the point I'm making. So everything is thrown into the mix. It's part of the work of their salvation to be you, just like you don't want to miss heaven and you want to do it successfully. So also you work your marriage and make it work successfully. It's part of the assignment that God has given us to do. And that is why the Bible will say, before you make somebody a leader in the church, that you have to look at their home, how successful they are at home. In other words, if they are not successful at home, the chances of being successful in their ministry is very, very slim. Even though we've turned the word of God upside down these days. Because if your marriage has failed, I wonder what you are going to tell somebody whose marriage is, you know, it's under the attack of the enemy. If your own marriage has failed, God will help us in Jesus' name. Because the Christian in a marriage bear fruit, their marriage is automatically fruit bearing. So in other words, the amount of fruit bearing you see in the marriage will depend on the amount of fruit bearing that you see in the individual member or individual component of the marriage. And finally, to each of them, the marriage vow is a covenant and not a contract. Is a covenant and not a contract. In the world today, people even have what they call prenuptial agreements, because it's a contract. How many of us know what prenuptial agreement is? We do. Praise God. In other words, if I'm really very, very rich, as I am in the Lord, praise God, and I don't trust my wife, I know that at some stage my wife will want to divorce me and take part of my wealth. So before we marry, we will do a contract and we will say, look, when we marry, or if we happen to divorce, you are not going to share out of my wealth, or you cannot ask for like more than 5 million. Oh, so we both agree to it. The woman too will make, you know, is a sign that there is no trust in the relationship. Is a sign that there is no commitment or long-term or eternity-focused commitment in that relationship. It ought not to be so among Christians. Praise the Lord. Because our marriages are not contracts, but they are covenants. The Christian man in a marriage, our time is gone, I'll quickly go through. He sits in the position of the priest in his home, guiding the spiritual tone of his home. He is spirit-led. Sorry, the spelling is wrong. He's spirit-led, and he is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He sees his wife as a good thing and a favor from God. Some people see their wives as a burden. You need to hear some men talk about their wives. You will not. If they sell the wife to you, I remember one person was talking about his wife. He said he didn't even know how he ended up marrying his wife. He said because when he first met her, that she was so talkative that he didn't think that any man would want to marry that woman. That finally he ended up, I'm serious, I'm talking about, my wife knows, that he ended up marrying this woman. And he said, oh, I used to think my wife, my mother-in-law is the devil. He said, but after my mother-in-law died, I then discovered that my wife is actually the real devil. The way some people talk about their wives. In Proverbs chapter 18 verse 22, the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains what? Favor from God. So when you find a wife, you must feel fortunate. Your wife is a gift from God, and God has favored you. Praise the Lord. To the Christian man in a marriage, his marriage is a lifelong assignment to be tended until he takes his last breath. That's why I told her about prenuptial marriage, prenuptial agreement. The Christian is not to do that. His marriage is a lifelong assignment. He defends his marriage from every form of invasion. He makes his home secure and peaceful. The Bible says, if a strong man keeps his home, what happens? His home is what? Secured. It said, except a man stronger than he comes to invade the home. Your homes will be secured in Jesus' name. Because Jesus in you, the hope of glory. And you can do all things because he strengthens you. We'll be able to keep our homes in the mighty name of Jesus. Keeping our homes also means being careful in terms of who we seek advice from when things happen at home. Being careful who you report your wife to. The Christian man in a marriage leads his family beside the green pastures to the best of his abilities. He seeks the best of the home. He has a vision for his family. He deals with his wife with love. And I want us to take note of the other part. And according to knowledge. That's what the Bible says. The Bible does not ask the woman to deal with the man according to knowledge. It actually says to love the husband and be in submission, but the man to love the wife and deal with her according to knowledge. We were in the car yesterday, and me and my children, we were talking about their mother behind her back. She's getting to know now. And they were talking about how, you know, one of them was saying how mommy will repeat something and act as if she's not heard the other thing you said. And I said to them, and I said, look, when you see mommy repeating that thing and you have said something and she acts like she has not, it means she doesn't agree with you. You know, she wants you to do this one that she's asking you to do. Because she does it to me too, praise the Lord. You know, so we were talking in the car and I said, that's what mommy does. You know, so because I've recognized that, when I want it done the other way, I will address it straight away. I won't beat around and say, but you know, I've said it, How many times? 3 times. And you are saying this? No. This is what I want us to do. Praise God. Bible says we deal with our wives according to knowledge. In other words, they are a lifetime study for us. To study them and then deal with them according to our knowledge of them in the Lord. Praise God. So, he must not be afraid to take important decisions for the long-time good of the family. Joshua 24:15. He said, choose you these days whom you are going to serve. As for me and my house, we are going to do what? We are going to serve the Lord. The man must take important decisions for the long-time good of the family. There's good room for discussions, agreement, and so on. But when you see that this is going to be injurious to the family, a point will come that you have to, if you are worth your salt, take a stand and say, this is where we are going. I trust God that our women, they are women of virtue, they will follow. Praise the Lord. Once they know that that is not the way you act all the time, but that they know that this has become very important to you and you take a stand, they will follow you. Praise God. So he instructs his family to follow after righteousness. Genesis 18:19. The Christian woman in a marriage. The Christian woman in the marriage sees herself as complementing her husband to make a unique one whole. Genesis 2:24. Okay? They are not competitors. In some homes, the husband and the wives are competing. No. We are complementing each other. We are doing what? We are complementing each other. You need to see the competition in some homes. And I'm speaking from experience, because I counsel people in my psychiatric practice. And one chap was telling me, he grew up in Queensland in a home that was quite relaxed. All the kids from that home, they are university graduate, they are quite, you see, they lived at home, they did, you know, they had it easy, so to say. Then he got married to this girl whose mother was on to her fourth or fifth husband. The home was in chaos. And so when they got together, her attitude was essentially the way she was brought up. The kind of sibling rivalry and everything that was obtained at home was what existed between her and the husband. Very competitive. And of course, eventually they had to separate. They are not Christians. Ours must not be like that. We are complementing each other. And there are many areas that may want to challenge us in terms of, you know, whether we should compete or not, including how we treat our family members, including how we need to resolve these things. Okay? Praise the Lord. We are not competitors. We are complementing each other. Her loyalty is to her husband. Proverbs 31:11-12. Can we quickly open to Proverbs 31:11-12? Her loyalty is to her husband. Just like some women who play politics with their friend, they play politics with their husband. You just need to hear what some women say about their husband when he's not there, particularly when they get angry. Everything and all things will be said about their husband. That is not the way of a Christian in a marriage relationship. Remember that in the heat of the anger, that there's going to be a tomorrow. After that heat of the anger that you have, there's going to be a tomorrow. Proverbs 31:11-12. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You will do your husband's good, oh, in Jesus' name. She's a source of support to the family. Look at Proverbs 31:21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So in other words, she's a source of support. I've shared with some of us before that my mother-in-law, maybe my wife may not want me to say this because the times I've shared it in the past, she wasn't there. My mother-in-law, even though her husband was highly placed in the civil service and was earning a lot of money, she was working as a nurse midwife. And because of the many commitments of the old man, this woman sometimes will give money for the children's school fees. But how will she give it? She will give the money to her husband for the school fees. The husband will give it to the children. And many of them didn't know until they became adults that mommy was doing this. So the wife, the Christian in a marriage, please, for those of us who didn't start with us, I said, look, there is nothing like Christian marriage. We have Christians in marriage. There is nothing like Christian marriage. There are Christians in marriage. And it is the Christians in marriage that produce the kind of marriage that we expect or that we get. But if you have a kind of marriage we expect, we have seen that it doesn't work. So it is the Christians in us that make our marriages work. And your marriage will work in Jesus' name. The Christian woman in marriage sets purity and virtue as her priorities. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 to 6. You can read that on your own. In conclusion, so when both the husband and the wife live up to their worth as Christians, the resultant marriage will have the features of peace, encouragement to do the will of God. You will be study partners of the Bible, and I wonder how many couples here actually exchange ideas on the Bible and teach. It's one of your roles as a husband, actually, because you are the priest of your home, to actually teach. In other words, you have to know more than your wife. To successfully lead in that area, you have to read your Bible more than her. Praise the Lord. Because you need to be able to teach them. Amen. No, it's a serious thing. You are the priest. Okay? Encouraged to do the will of God. So there will be encouragement to do the will of God. And openness in an enduring relationship. So it's not a short-term relationship. It's a long-term relationship till Jesus comes. Characterized by peace, encouragement, and openness. And you know what? Such marriage will thrive on testimony and thanksgiving. It's not a place where people murmur. It's a place where people give testimony for the good things that God has done, thanking Him for what they have received, and expecting that He will perfect whatever is left. Because there will always be those areas. And I'm telling you, I've seen people who are, and I still see them in my practice, people who are in their 70s or even older. They have their issues. Praise the Lord. They have their issues. So if you are waiting until everything is perfect, and that is what I learned also from that powerful man of God that preached yesterday when we went for my wife's graduation. And he said, one of the problems with Christians is that we expect a perfect church. He said the church will become perfect when you leave the church. And then when you get to the next place, you find out that it's not perfect, and then you move on to the next place. Then, you know, it becomes perfect after you've left. Everywhere you go, you then find something, you know. It's the same thing with marriage. That's why you see people, some people are on to their third, their fourth, their fifth, their sixth marriage. To them, the grass is greener on the other side. And I say, until you get there, you begin to see the potholes there. You begin to see the brown spots there. But the Lord will strengthen us to make a success of our marriages in Jesus' name. Please, in 2 minutes, do we have any questions? We are a church where we know everything. We never ask questions. We are full bottle on all topics. We don't ask questions. There are things we need to be asking, please. We are children of God. Ask questions. It's important. Don't take it home. Let's ask questions. The Holy Spirit will help us to answer. Any questions? Okay, please, let's rise up and pray. Now we are going to pray individually. Pray for yourself and say, Father, I see my marriage as a calling. Help me to make a success of it in Jesus' name. Say, Lord Jesus, I see my marriage as a calling. Help me so I can make a success of my marriage in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the success of our marriages depends on what each of us has to supply. It depends on what each of us is doing in that marriage. Marriages don't just succeed. They succeed based on our readiness to work hard at making it succeed. Pray that God will strengthen you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. A good tree brings forth good fruits. So also a bad tree will bring forth bad fruit. So a good marriage will produce good fruits. Can we pray to the Lord and say, Father, may my marriage bear good fruits in Jesus' name. In other words, your marriage will be a good tree, and therefore we produce good fruits in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Ours will not be failed marriages. Ours will be successful marriages. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Father, because we are Christians in our different marriages. My Lord and my God, will begin to influence each other positively from today in Jesus' name. The Bible says a three-cord rope is not easily broken. Jesus and the two of us makes the three-cord. And I pray for every home in this church this morning that you become a three-cord with Jesus as the third person there. In Jesus' name, you shall not be broken. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.